Okay, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 8 this evening. Helen's going to read. We're going to read verses 22 to 36 of Proverbs 8.
The Lord formed me in the beginning, before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters. Before the mountains and the hills were formed, I was born. Before he made the earth and the fields and the first handfuls of soil. I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established the deep fountains of the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so they could not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect by his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with what he created, his wild world with all the human family. And so, my children, listen to me, for happy are those who follow my ways. Listen to my counsel and be wise. Don't ignore it. Happy are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and wins approval from the Lord. But those who miss me have injured themselves. All who hate me love death. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you. The opening nine chapters of the book of Proverbs are there basically to tell us that wisdom is absolutely wonderful and that it is totally worth seeking, and to follow it is a very wise choice, and not to follow it is a very foolish one. The nitty-gritty teaching about wisdom really gets going in chapter 10 with these 21 chapters of one-liners, which we are encouraged to think about. Wisdom is not about learning things by rote. It's about learning to navigate God's world. And the authors of Proverbs want us to know that really seeking out wisdom is just so worthwhile. And in those verses from Proverbs chapter 8, we get this idea about wisdom being, well, an aspect of God's character, a very important aspect. We already know in chapter 3 that God's wisdom was involved in the wonderful creation that God had made. And this is now developed here. So wisdom is sort of both an aspect of God's character and something that is alongside God. Now, I don't think the author of Proverbs was trying to be too precise in saying these things, but this wisdom is something that God wants to share with us. He wants us to know. And one of the things that the writer of Proverbs 8 wants us to know is the absolute delight that God takes in his creation. The translation that we had there talks about wisdom being the architect at God's side. And talks about wisdom delighting in the creation. One other possible translation of that is that wisdom was the child at God's side at the time of creation. And forgive me for doing the grandfatherly bit here, but I can't help myself. But I mean, yesterday we were at Izzy's birthday party, and just to see the delight of a one-year-old is really quite something. You know, the one way of translating this verse is almost like God skipping and dancing around with joy at his creation, and God so excited at all the wonderful things that he has made. I think it's worth saying that because sometimes we think that wisdom is kind of a dry academic thing. You know, if you're wise, you will be stiff and you will be serious, but not according to the writer of Proverbs. Wisdom is this overflow of God's joy, this overflow of God's childlikeness. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in the human race. And wisdom is about sharing God's delight. It's not so much about being clever, but in seeing the world the way that God sees it. And wisdom is presented here, and I don't think I'm pushing this too far, but there's this idea. So Proverbs is mostly addressed to men. That's how it worked in those days. But the way I read Proverbs, it's as if the writer of Proverbs is saying to these young men, look, there's two women and you've got a choice here. Which one are you going to go for? There is folly, who is on the surface very exciting and will give you a lot of immediate pleasure, but is going to destroy you. Folly is very much linked to the idea of sexual immorality and adultery and stuff like that. You know, it seems attractive, but it destroys and it wrecks relationships. And if you go down that way, you're going to end up regretting it. Whereas wisdom is like the woman who really does love you, who really does want the best for you, who's really looking out for your best interest and is really committed to you. So the challenge of the writer of the book of Proverbs is, which of those two are you going to take? Seeking out God's wisdom is like a man seeking out a woman who he can really trust and really love. And perhaps in that there's this sense of even like falling in love with wisdom. Just as God delights in us and he delights in his creation, so we delight in him and his character, and we pursue it, believing that that is the best way to go. Blessed are those who listen to wisdom, who watch daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me, well, they harm themselves, and it's a route that heads towards death. So the practical way that we live our lives in the wisdom of God really matters to our Lord. There are other times in the scriptures when the joy of creation really comes out. In the book of Job, when God eventually confronts Job, you know, where were you, Job, at the time of creation when the morning stars sang for joy and when God took delight in everything that he'd made? Or in the book of Revelation, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive honor and glory and power, for you created all things and for your pleasure they were created. Some of the newer translations have for And by your will they were created, which I think is a bit unfortunate. It is a correct translation, but your will is what you want. Your will is what pleases you. You know, it's the thing that you really want. And what God really wanted was to take pleasure in this wonderful creation that he has made. Now, Proverbs chapter 8 points forward to Jesus. The ideas that are in Proverbs 8 are taken up by the people who spread the gospel. And we see this especially in the letter to the Colossians and in John chapter 1, where Jesus, who has taken human form, is the Word of God, through whom God made everything. And by him all things were created. By him all things are sustained. This eternal wisdom, this eternal aspect of God's character that delights in the creation, has become human. God delights in his creation so much that he doesn't just stand back from it and watch it. He joins in. course, he's been joining in all the time. He's always been present in everything at all times. But in Jesus of Nazareth, he joins in a unique way. And this Jesus is the ultimate expression of the wisdom of God. There is nothing higher than Jesus. This Jesus who lived with people, who made friends with people, who ate with people, who delighted to be with people. It's this person that people flocked to. Because in him, well, as the Apostle Paul would put it, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. So Jesus is the one who shows us fully what the wisdom of God looks like, the creative power of God, God dancing for joy as he made this earth and this wonderful creation coming out, coming right alongside us and inviting us tonight to share bread and wine with him. And it seems quite a long distance, perhaps, from those wonderful heady thoughts to 21 chapters of one-liners to try and help us how to behave. But the writer of Proverbs wouldn't think it was far. The writer of Proverbs, I think, would say to us, but by looking at all these one-liners, by trying to understand them, by trying to live in them, you're bringing yourself in line with creation as God meant it to be. You're discovering the character of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, now I think the best translation is, in all your ways, get to know him. And he will make your path straight. If you make it your priority to build your relationship with him, if you make it your priority to please him and to know him and love him, then you know the wonderful wisdom of our Creator God. So Proverbs has no problem about saying 21 chapters of pithy one-liners to help us understand what it means that we should grasp God's wisdom. And we need the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, because otherwise the danger is we'll think, here's a list of rules and regulations, here's a list of some. No, it's much, much better than that. It's all about promise to us. And in a few moments, we'll take bread and wine together, and we will celebrate that he is amongst us, the one who has all wisdom. This morning, we looked at a few of those one-liners from Proverbs about the way we speak. Perhaps that's the project for this week, to think about how we talk, to think about how our speech can more reflect God's character. Learning how to be, when it's right to be silent, learning when it's right to talk straight, learning to speak the sweet words to other people that the book of Proverbs speaks of. And as we do it, we draw closer to him. We build our relationship with him and he with us. Let's pray together. Father, we want to know the wisdom of Christ. Lord, help us to commit our way to you and to trust you that you will lead us forward. And Lord, we know that as we trust you, it means seeking your wisdom at all things and at all times. So, Father, this morning we were thinking about the words that we speak. Help us to speak the sweet words, the words that bring life, not words that bring death to each other. Help us that we will be able to talk straight with each other. Help us to speak only words of love. And, Father, as the sun this evening shines through our window here, Lord, we praise you. We recognize the incredible joy that you have in everything that you made. Help us to be part of that joy too, more and more. Amen.